I'm telling you. He's an awesome God. And my desire this morning, I'm going to be talking about Gideon, but my desire is to lift up God, to lift up the Most High God, Jehovah. I want to lift him up. I want to lift up the name of Jesus in this place because he's worthy. I don't ever want you to forget who you serve. So if you would, get your Bibles and turn to Judges. And that's in the Old Testament, in case anybody needs to know that. Close to the front. And that's Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And like I said, we're going to be talking about Gideon this morning. I believe I've talked about Gideon before, but I'll probably talk about him again because he is just one of my favorite people. Gideon was a farmer, and he liked being a farmer. Some farmers, they like being a farmer, but they have other desires. They want to be, get into other things. But Gideon, he had no desire to be anything more than a farmer. He had no political ambitions. He didn't dream of becoming a military leader. But God had a plan for his life. And the Gideon story in the Old Testament is unique in that it's a story of how God made a hero out of an unlikely person. And God is looking for Gideons today, men, women, and young people of faith who are willing to step out and do great things for God. So let's look at Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them to the hands of the Midianites because the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from the land before, or I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live,' but you have not listened to me." See, there's the problem right there. God tells us things. He tells us what to do and what not to do. And he'll tell us, don't do this, don't go there, don't be around this person, don't talk that language, don't watch this movie. But we say, well, we don't listen. We don't listen. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, wait a minute. Gideon is a coward. He is. We'll find that in a little bit. Gideon is a bitter, angry, frustrated young man who is a coward. But what in the world? It says here, the angel of the Lord says, "God is with you, mighty warrior." Do you remember Romans 4:17? Calling those things that be not as though they were. You know what? There's some mighty warriors sitting in this church this morning. There's mighty warriors, and you may not see yourself as a mighty warrior. You may see yourself as the guy back in the tent peeling the potatoes. But you know what? God looks at you. He sees mighty warriors. But Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us," now this shows you how frustrated he is, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" You ever ask that question? God, if you're for me, and everybody else in church is doing good, what about me, Lord? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? Now look here. This shows you how he saw himself. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. Do you see the picture he has of himself? He doesn't have very much self-esteem. But what did God call him back there? You mighty warrior? Do you understand how significant this is? He sees himself as the least in the family, but God looks at him and he says, you are a mighty warrior. Young people, I'm going to tell you this morning, you may go to school and you may be around kids that come across as having a whole lot more than you, and they're all this and they act like they're all that, but I tell you what, God looks at you and he goes, there's my mighty warriors right there. Right there's my mighty warriors. Oh, I know we got some mighty warriors in the rank right here. I know it. So then, and God, notice this in verse 14, God says, go in the strength that you have. In other words, don't sit around and wait for me to do some big miracle. Start out in the strength that you have. Do what you know to do. He said, am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon said, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites together. There, you put God's super to your natural, and things are going to happen. When you step out in the natural, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to tell this person Jesus loves you. God will add his super to your natural. You can walk up and your words come out all blah, 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 like that. You're like, what the world am I saying? But God, the Holy Ghost takes those words and he fixes them and he gets them into their hearing to where all of a sudden they just know Jesus loves me. That guy just told me Jesus loves me. He will add his super to your natural and things you never thought you could do before. Oh my goodness. He said, I'm going to strike down all those Midianites. We're going to find out in a little bit how many there were. Hallelujah. And Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. Isn't that just like people? Isn't that just like us Christians? Give me a sign, Lord. Give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. And Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, and he brought it out and offered it to him under the oak. And the angel of the Lord said to him, take the unleavened bread, place it on this rock, pour out the broth, and then it goes on to say how that fire came out and upon the rock and consumed the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, O sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. Wow. Now let me stop here for a few minutes. And if I don't read all of this, you can go home and do that. It's Judges 6 and 7. But for time here, I'm going to just talk to you and refer back to the scriptures. Let me talk to you a little bit for a few minutes about the Midianites. What they would do is, first of all, the Israelites, they were flaky. They would, one day, one year, they're serving God. Oh, yeah, we love God. He's our God. And they would get rid of all their idols, and they would just make God, you know, they would serve God and honor God. And then usually some idiot would go out, and I never have understood this, would go out and chop down a tree and form a little god for himself that he made with his hands, bring it in, and then start bowing to it. How stupid is that? That would be like me going and getting Play-Doh and making a little god, you know, a little god. And then, you know, I don't know what I would make, you know, but anyway, making a little god for me and putting it somewhere and then putting it, you know, on my coffee table and then going, oh, thou Play-Doh, you know. I mean, how stupid is that? And God was so good to them. And he was always saying, if you'll honor me, I'll take care of you. If you'll worship me, I'll take care of you. But they would go do these, and then one person would go out and do it, and the next thing you know, everybody's doing it. Well, the Joneses, they have a god, so now we got to go out and make us a god and bring it in. And this kind of thing was happening all the time. And so then for 7 years, the Israelites turned their back on God again for 7 years and started worshiping idols. And so what happened was then the Lord, the Midianites, who were their enemies, there was like 135,000 of them, the Midianites would come, the Israelites would sow crops, they would do all these things, they would go out in the springtime, they would sow all these crops, sow the seeds, they would take care of it, they would water the garden, they would take care of their sheep, their goats, their donkeys, they would work hard for a long time, all summer long, and they would tend to everything, and just about harvest time, those Midianites will come out of nowhere because they would hide in caves and rocks, and they would come out of nowhere and come down to the valley where the Israelites were and take everything they had. They took all of their food. They took all of their donkeys, their goats, their sheep, their camels. They took everything, and what they couldn't take, they would destroy. And this went on for 7 years. Right about harvest time. You know, some of you may be feeling like it's time for you to have a harvest. And Satan has been coming in and taking your harvest right about harvest time. But you know what? You can stand up in the name of Jesus and tell the devil, take your hands off of my money in the name of Jesus. And he's got to do it because he's trespassing. And he's a dog. All right. So this is what's been going on. The Midianites, they were nomads, and which means they would just wander around. So the Israelites just thought, we got to suck it up. We just got to live with this year after year. And that's what Christians are doing today. They're just thinking, we just got to suck it up. We just got to keep going the way we're going. No, you don't. I've got good news for you this morning. The Bible says you have been blessed. You are blessed. You are highly favored of God. You've got the blood of Jesus on you. You've got the right and the privilege to speak the name of Jesus. You've got the blood of Jesus covering you. And when Satan comes into your home and starts stealing your stuff, you tell him in the name of Jesus, put it back. Put it back, you dog. That's what I call him. You want to hear how I talk to him in my house? Listen here, you dog face. Get your dog face hands off of my stuff in the name of Jesus. Get out. I had to tell him that this morning. I was in the closet trying to find some clothes, and there was some thoughts, oppression trying to come against me, and all of a sudden it hit me. The devil's attacking me. You dog, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Get out of my house. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to suck it up and live with it. You can start giving your tithes and your offerings and coming to church and worshiping God and honoring God. And then I'm telling you what, he will watch out for you. He will take care of you. So then all this was going on, and they needed somebody. They started, now they get it. They're like, hey, you know what? We've been going through this for 7 years. We need somebody to help us. Oh, God, would you please help us? 7 years. That's a long time. But they finally got a clue. And they started calling on God. We need somebody to help us. So God raised up somebody. And when you think of a hero, you normally think of somebody with strength, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever his name is, you know. And you think of somebody that's good looking and great intellect and personal charisma and enormous wealth. But Gideon was none of those things. He started out as a weak, bitter farmer. But he was raised, but he was transformed into a warrior, and he went from zero to hero. I love that. Zero to hero. The fascinating story of Gideon, we're going to get three pictures here. First, Gideon the coward. So we see in verses 6 and 11 how that he's like down in this wine press. And let me just make this fast for you. And that is, the wine press was sort of like a barrel that they kept grapes in. Normally, they would beat the wheat out in the open so the wind would come in and separate it from the chaff. But he was trying to eke out just a little bit more before those, you know, he had hit a little bit of the wheat, and he was trying to get it beat so before the enemy came again and took it away from him. And he was frustrated. He was very frustrated. And so he's down there in this barrel, and that's when the angel of the Lord shows up and tells him, "Oh, mighty man of God, oh, mighty warrior." And that's when you know, Gideon gets all frustrated. He goes, "Where is God?" And everything. And he says, my clan is the weakest one in the family, and I'm the youngest one in the family. You've got the wrong guy. You need a tough warrior to do this." So, you know, but the angel just kept on talking. And so the second picture we see here of our hero improves somewhat, is a coward who had an impersonal encounter with God. And it was one thing to meet God in the secrecy of your wine press, but quite another to stand up for the Lord in public ways. And Gideon began to make a difference at his home, because we see later on that the angel of the Lord tells him, "Go in your home and get rid of those gods. Go into your dad's home and get rid of those idol gods." That's what I believe God is still saying to us today. Go in your house and purge it. Okay, it's getting real quiet in here. But I'm not going to move on. I want to keep on talking. You know why? Because you bring junk into your house. You bring I remember people coming back from different countries. I remember somebody brought back a pipe to me, you know, and I'm like, "A pipe?" You know, it was from a foreign country, so I just put it out on the back porch. Troy found it and thought it was a blessing, but I'm like, "No." He said that he was tickled pink, you know, when he found that pipe. It was a real long pipe, and he thought he'd found a blessing. But I'm very careful what I bring into my house. I'm very, very careful. There's even magazines and stuff like that I'm very careful about bringing into the house, because that house is God's house. And you bring junk in there. You bring idols in there. You bring stuff in there. You bring vile CDs in there that curse God or curse or defile women and talk about killing cops and all that kind of stuff, and you're bringing that kind of garbage into your house, and you're listening to it, and then you sit there and say, "Oh, God, please help me." I believe God would say to us today, get rid of the junk in your house. You can't be, and I'm just going to say it, you can't be having pornography in there either. You got to be careful what you're looking at on the internet. You can't be serving the devil all week and then come in here on Sunday morning and ask God to bless you. It's time, you know, we're on a fast right now, and I believe right now would be a good time to ask God, "Show me. If there's junk in my house, if there's things that I need to get rid of, reveal it to me," and he will. He will do that. So that's what Gideon did. But you know what he did? He was kind of still afraid, so he waited till the people had gone to sleep, and it says that God told him, he said, let me see here, find it. "That night the Lord said to him, take the bull from your father's herd as well as the second bull." So God told him to build like a sacrifice, and he did that. And take the second bull and offered as a burnt sacrifice on the wood of the poles, the very poles that he cut down. Gideon took 10 of his servants and did just as the Lord had told him. He was too afraid of his father's family and the men of the city to do it in broad daylight, so he waited until nighttime. So we see here that God wanted Gideon to get the junk out of his house. And in the process of doing that, let me just tell you, in process of doing that, 10 guys started following him. When you step out, you start doing the right things, people are going to start following you. People are going to start watching you. They're going to say, "What'd you do that for?" And you say, "Because I'm serving God now. And I choose him first. And I'm going to honor him in my life." You're going to start walking around. I believe that you could be looking around, and all of a sudden you got people following you. What are you following me for? Well, you seem like you know you're going somewhere. So even though he was still fearful, he was willing to take a risk at home. And this inspired at least 10 guys to go with him on this occasion. And a little later in the story, he's going to rally 32,000 men. And the great thing about a risk taken is that it inspires others to move out in faith with you. Has anybody, and I'm going to tell this real quick, has anybody here ever heard about the 4-minute mile? Anybody heard about that? For years, back in the Greek days, there was someone found old records of how the Greeks tried to accomplish the 4-minute mile. So they had wild animals to chase them to try to make them run faster for 4 minutes. Yeah, I think I could do that 4-minute mile if a bear was chasing me, you know. And they had wild animals chase the runners, hoping that it would make them run faster. And they tried to drink tiger's milk, and not the kind you go down there and get from the special stores. No, somebody went and milked a tiger. Now, I'd like to see that. You know, that would be interesting. I'm talking about the real thing. But nothing worked, so it was decided it was physically impossible for a human being to run the four-minute mile because they said our bone structure wasn't right and the wind resistant and the lung power. Until one day, a guy named Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile. He did it. He did it in 4 minutes. And you know what? The year after he did that, 300 runners broke the four-minute mile. They just needed somebody to step out and say, it can be done. It can be done. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Why don't you be the one to step out and say, it can be done. We can be blessed in the city. We can be blessed in the field. My home can be blessed. It can be a place of favor and peace and not so much drama. If you've got a lot of drama going on in your house, I'm telling you what, you need to stop and fast and ask God, what do I need to do to get peace in my home? Now the third picture I want to show you real quick is of Gideon the Conqueror. That's found in Judges 6:33 and then verse 8 and 3. So Gideon issued a call across Israel to arms, and they responded as they came, and Gideon started getting a little nervous. It was one thing for a farmer to say he was going to lead an army, but it was another thing for a farmer to actually lead an army into battle when you have 32,000 men and the other guys had 135,000 men. So he did this little test, and he said, God, tell me, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to give me a sign. So here's what we're going to do, God. I'm going to put a sheep's fleece on the ground tonight, and in the morning, if the ground is dry and the fleece is wet, then I'm your guy. And the Lord did as he asked. So when the next morning he got up, he squeezed the fleece, and there was enough dew in there to fill up a bowl, but the grass was dry. So Gideon was still not convinced, and he prayed again. He goes, I don't want to, you know, get on your nerves here, God, but let's try it another way. I'll leave the fleece out tonight and let the ground be soaking wet, but the fleece be dry. Sure enough, he got up the next day. The ground was soaking wet, but the fleece was dry. So he got, you know, Gideon says, well, God must be serious, so this is what I'm going to do. Be careful, though. This is Gideon with very little faith. You've got to understand putting out this fleece. Be careful about doing fleeces. If you say, well, I just want to, you know, I just want to make sure, and you say, okay, God, if you want me to marry this bozo over here, then let me find a parking spot right in front of the donut shop. And then after you travel around the donut shop 16 times and you find an empty spot, yes, I knew it, Lord. I knew it was your will for me to marry him because there's a spot. Be careful about putting out fleeces. You might get fleeced. In this day and age, we are living in the New Testament and the Holy Ghost. He says he will show us things to come. So you check your spirit. Don't be checking no fleeces. So now we see that Gideon became a challenger, and he kind of threw down the gauntlet then. I love that. So now he's got an army of 32,000, and he's starting to kind of feel, well, you know, this is cool. We can do this. And then God says to him, not so fast, Gideon. You got too many men. Huh? What? I've got too many. I got 32,000. They got 135,000. And Gideon's thinking, too many men? How can you have too many men? We're going into battle. But you see, God wanted him to realize this is a God thing. This is not a man thing. But God said, you've got too many warriors. And when they win, they're going to think that they did it all by themselves. So tell them that who's ever afraid could go home. So Gideon gets up and he makes the announcement. And 22,000 get up and leave. 22,000 men get up and walk off just like that, leaving Gideon with 10,000 men. How many does the other side have? 135,000. Okay, do you know that that's a little nerve, whatever. It's just as Gideon kind of got his head wrapped around the fact that, you know, God had said there was, you know, what was happening. God said again, still too many, Gideon. There's still too many men here. And so he said, bring them down to the water, and I'll thin the ranks some more. When I say, this one should go with you, pick him to go. When I say, this one should not go with you, do not take him. So he brought the men down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, separate those who lap the water as dogs, lap from those who kneel to drink. So the men gather around this water, and the guys that, you know, did this number and lap like a dog, they were chosen. The guys who cupped their hands and brought it up and drank it like that, they were not chosen. Somebody said one time that the guys that drank like dogs, they were like aggressive. They were like, let me just give me some water. And they were the ones that God chose. The guys that, the people that cupped it in their hands and brought it up, they were too careful. So, not that you have to lap like dogs. Please don't think that. So now Gideon has 300 men who lap like dogs. And I will deliver the whole army and I will hand Midian over to you, God said. With 300 men, God is telling Gideon, I will hand over this whole army to you. I think that's fantastic. So the rest of the men, tell the rest of the men, go home. And so they did. They went home. Now, at this point, I'm not sure that Gideon was all convinced of the validity of the plan. And so God told him, if you don't believe that I can do it, sneak down to the enemy's camp and see what they're saying. And that's what he did. He took one of his leaders, and he sneaked down to the Midianite camp, and he eavesdropped on a conversation going on around the campfire. And the two guys were talking, and the first one said, I had a strange dream last night. I dreamt that a loaf of barley bread rolled down the hill into the camp and flattened one of our tents. And the second guy said, your dream can only mean one thing. Get it? Gideon and his men are going to whip us. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they had what they said. Jesus said, you shall have what you say. Mark 11:23. But the thing about it was, they had heard of Gideon. And they knew about God. They already knew about God, but now they're hearing about Gideon. And they said, that could only mean one thing. Gideon's going to get us. He's going to whoop us. Whoop us. So Gideon took the dream and the interpretation as a sign from God and went back to the camp to rally the troops. And when Gideon heard, now I love this. This is, I think it's Judges 7:15-22. When Gideon heard the report of the dream and its interpretation, he praised God that he went back to the Israel camp and said, get up, for the Lord is handing us the Midianite army over to you. Get up. God has given us the victory. Get up. He's given us this Midianite army. That doesn't sound like somebody who was a coward anymore. That doesn't sound like somebody who's questioning God anymore. This sounds like a champion talking. Get up. We've got this battle licked. It's ours. The victory is ours. What had happened? What happened from that guy that was in the barrel saying, I'm not nobody. I'm the least of my family, and I'm just the youngest in my family, and blah, blah, blah. And now he's saying, get up. We've got the victory. We're going to go whip us up some Midianites. What happened? I tell you right now what happened. He had an encounter with God. And that is all that we need this morning. We need an encounter with Almighty God. I challenge you this week as you go about school, as you go about your work, as you go about your home, whatever you're doing, put God first. Take time to be with him. Take a few minutes. Turn off the Facebook. Turn off your TV for a little bit. Get alone with him for 15 to 20 minutes or however long you can. And just love on him. Talk to him. Say, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Jesus, I need you in my life more than I've ever needed anybody, right? And I'll go a step further. I challenge you this morning to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know you can be filled right in your house with the Holy Ghost, right, Marianne? Yes. Marianne just got hungry, and she just got hungry for more of God. She went into her kitchen, was sitting on the floor and just praising God. And the next thing she knew, she was singing in tongues. She just had an encounter with God. And I tell you what, you could be in church, we'll pray with you, you get the Holy Ghost here. But I challenge you, I'm telling you, young people, I'm talking to you too, and that is, get alone with him. God, I want everything you've got for me. I want to be saved, sanctified, filled up with the Holy Ghost and fire. What does sanctified mean? Sanctified means you start laying down junk that you know is not pleasing to God. You stop doing stuff that you know is not pleasing to Him. I don't have time to make this fluffy for you. I'm just going to tell you straight, okay? It is wrong to steal. It is wrong to lie. It is wrong to fornicate. Fornicate means to have sex before you're married. Adultery is having sex after you're married with the wrong person. And I could tell you some more things, but your guys are like, you know. So I'm just giving you a few things here. There's some things that if you're doing them, lay them down. Lay them down. Now this is the year for you to start moving closer to God. Start moving closer to Him. Say, God, there's some areas in my life. Unless you help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And guess what? Just like Gideon, he'll say, I will help you. I will help you lay those things down. I will help you to lay down anything that's going to hurt your testimony. He loves you. You know what? He's for you. He is not against you. This could be the year of increase in your life. This could be the year of blessing if you will dare to step out and honor God and put Him first in everything you do. And I'm going to close by saying this. This verse keeps coming up, and God is dealing with me about some things and about the kingdom. And the first thing that right here, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not seek ye first your boyfriend. Not seek ye first a magazine. Not seek ye first a video game. Not seek ye first other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. When you put Him first, when you say, I've got to have you. I may not understand everything in this Bible, but I'm going to read it until you reveal it to me. I'll run down almost see. Hallelujah. He's going to change you up like you've never been changed. And you're going to love it. It's going to be exciting. This could be the most exciting year of your life. I see these teenagers, I believe that they can lay hands on a sick. They can be at Burger King, and somebody walks up to them and says, you know what, I've been sick for a couple of days. Well, come here, let me just anoint you. Let me pray for you. And there might be some falling out going on at Burger King. I don't know. Better have some catchers in case, just in case. But I'm just telling you, things could change this year. If you believe it, stand up. Close your eyes. Don't move around right now, please. Hallelujah. 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 He's here right now. And I believe that God is looking for some Gideons this morning. God is looking for some Gideons. Who will step out and say this morning, You're already saved. You already love the Lord. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But now you want to take it a step further. And you're going to step out this morning. You say, I will be a Gideon. I will step up. I will do what I believe the Lord. I will be the one person that will step out this morning and say, God, I need more of you in my life. I want you to add your super to my natural so that when I go to school, when I go to work, I will make a difference, and people are going to start following me, and they don't even know why. People are going to start, I'm going to have favor, and then people are going to do things for me. They don't know why. Is there anyone, I challenge you this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, will there be any Gideon step out this morning and say, yes, I want to take it a step further. I want to take my relationship with God a step further. Is there anybody in here that will do that this morning? I dare you. I challenge you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? Every one of you should be out here. Every one of you should be in the altar this morning. Can I just tell you something else? I'm not your former pastor. And I'm not your former pastor. And I'm not the former pastor. I'm Pastor Sandra Hamby. And I don't know what was ever expected of you before, but I'm going to give you notice this morning. When God tells you to move, move. And don't sit back and say, well, I'm afraid somebody's going to call me down. If you get out of order, I'll tell you in my office. I won't embarrass you out here. You understand? If God tells you to give a message in tongues, my God, what are you waiting for? If God tells you to give a prophecy, then you need to step right. It's time to be Pentecostal. This is a Pentecostal church you've wandered into this morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we're going to put the name out on the door, then we need to be Pentecostal in here. I dare you, I challenge you this morning to go home to the team. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. You start praying and you say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I want the gifts of the Holy Ghost in my life. I want the gifts of the Holy Ghost in this church. It's time for us to quit piddle-patting around and saying, well, I'll wait for Sister So-and-so to stand up and give a message. God wants to use you.